The Letters, Sportsnet's Blue Jays podcast with Arden Zwelling and Ben Nicholson-Smith.
This is what you work hard for in spring training. Get yourself ready for this spot right here. It's been a long journey to this spot right here. Let's see if the Blue Jays finish it off.
3-2, two outs. There it is. Strike three. LaTroy Hawkins completes the ninth inning, and the Blue Jays can celebrate their first division title in 22 years.
It's At the Letters for Tuesday, October 6th in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We are on sportsnet.ca and on iTunes. You can find us very easily on the internet. And when you do find us, please like us, favorite, share us, subscribe to us, rate, review. Please do all that good stuff. It helps us. And then in turn, we get to help you by doing more podcasts. So that's pretty good. We are myself, Arden Zwelling. I am a staff writer for Sportsnet Magazine and Sportsnet.ca, and I am joined, as always, by my co-pilot on this operation, Ben Nicholson-Smith, the baseball editor for Sportsnet.ca. Ben, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. You were flying solo last week, but I have to say, you and Brunt, great podcast. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, no, bro. We went to the gym, and I was working on my layups, and Brunt was pulling out like 360 dunks. Brunt killed it. Nailed it.
It was great, and it's also a podcast that isn't really anchored in time, so you can go back and listen at any point and you'll hear the stories, and it's good stuff.
It was good to kind of pull back and not be so like nuts and bolts, and to kind of just like look at, you know what I mean, like the big picture kind of stuff. It was awesome.
And as we say that, we're about to dive right in.
We're gonna
the
be
nuts and bolts.
So many nuts and bolts on this week's edition of At the Letters. We're gonna look forward, obviously, to the Blue Jays ALDS series, which starts on Thursday against the Texas Rangers. I break that down from all angles. Ben and I will make some predictions. We'll take a look at, you know, who's got better bats, better arms, better bench, this and that. We'll be joined by Jeff Wilson of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram to break things down from a Rangers perspective and perhaps give us some insight into, you know, just some of the storylines that, you know, we're overlooking here in Toronto. And then the final segment, Ben and I are going to go back in one of our first, it might have been actually the first ever episode of At the Letters. We did over under predictions for the season, and we're going to go back and find out who won that little competition.
The scary thing is we haven't reviewed them yet. So it's going to be frightening to see how far off we were.
I literally have not thought about them since that day. So I have no clue. Like, I don't even know. I came in today and told our producer, I was like, hey, like who won this question? And he was like, Arden, that wasn't even a question. Like, you dreamed that.
Yeah, it's that far ago that Cold Hines was on our mind, and it was, it's a very long time ago.
I know one of them was definitely Jose Reyes games played. I know that was definitely Jose Reyes games played, but I forget what the over-under was.
You know, that's going to be an interesting one because he played a lot of games overall, but not necessarily a lot
with
the Blue
Jays. You got to count the full thing.
Full
thing. Count the full season, okay. Obviously. But we'll get to that later. For now, hey, it's a playoff edition of ATL. This is kind of crazy. The regular season ended the other day, and we're not here like doing a post-mortem or like a recap or something. We're actually looking forward to more baseball.
It's truly nuts. It's going to be a lot of fun to see what can happen here. I think that the Blue Jays should beat the Texas Rangers. They're the best team in the American League, and yet they have absolutely no guarantees. They could be eliminated next week this time. So, I mean, it's going to be so much fun to see what they can do, and they really have a good team.
I think it's a really compelling matchup, and it's really interesting because you do have, you know, you have the Rangers who you know, just took such a similar route to get to where they are now to what the Blue Jays did, because, you know, both these teams at the trade deadline were just kind of like 500 ball clubs and that nobody was really given much of a chance. And then they go out and they make some great additions. The Blue Jays got David Price. The Rangers got Cole Hamels. And those two pitchers in a lot of ways helped carry these teams to where they are now.
I think it's crazy that both these teams were under 500 July 28th.
Yeah.
I mean, that's truly nuts. And I think that, you know, in comparing the two teams, the Blue Jays are better, like I said, but they're similar in the sense that they both have a lot of power. For the Rangers, it's a lot of left-handed power. For the Blue Jays, it's more right-handed power. You have an ace pitcher, an ace left-hander that was acquired at the trade deadline, some unheralded but effective bullpen pieces, you know, a manager who hasn't really got a lot of time in the national spotlight. I think that, yeah, in both cases, you do see similarities. And for those reasons and for many other reasons, it's going to be a great series.
Absolutely. And when I look at it, there's a few different ways this thing can go, because there are very good pitchers in this series. When you look at how Yovani Gallardo has performed against the Blue Jays, you look at Cole Hamels being Cole Hamels. And on the other end, David Price is David Price. Marcus Stroman is Marcus Stroman. So, you know, this, there could be some very good pitching in this series. But then also you look at the bats that are in this series. Josh Donaldson, Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion. For the Rangers, Prince Fielder, Josh Hamilton, Adrian Beltre. I mean, you know, I could very easily see this series going either being a low-scoring series or one in which, in two very friendly offensive environments, there's a whole lot of runs.
Yeah, I think that at the top of the rotation in both cases, you have some very good pitchers. Gallardo, not scary, but effective.
Against the Blue Jays.
And very, right? It's two starts, but very effective against the Blue Jays. And I think once you get to the middle of that Rangers rotation, though, I mean, whether it's Holland or Colby Lewis, you know, you could see them go to Martin Perez. Any one of those guys should be the type of pitcher that the Blue Jays offense can do some real damage against.
You know, this is going to be talked about, this Yovani Gallardo matchup. And what we've got, you know, on June 27th, he faced the Blue Jays, went 8 1/3, no runs allowed, 3 hits, 2 walks. The Rangers won that game 4-0. On August 27th, against your new Toronto Blue Jays, with Troy Tulowitzki in the lineup, with Ben Revere, et cetera, you know, with, you know, Kevin Pillar and Ryan Goins all of a sudden being able to hit, Yovani Gallardo went 5 1/3, not quite as deep, but no runs allowed, 3 hits, only 3 walks. Rangers won that game 4-1. Game one is going to be big, because, you know, you would think that with, you know, the Rangers having to play up until the literally the very last day of the season, burning Cole Hamels in that game, you would think the Blue Jays would have the advantage, but do they against Yovani Gallardo?
I mean, David Price was on the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays. I think almost any time he pitches, you know, unless they're up against Kershaw, or, you know, you could throw Dallas Keuchel maybe in that mix, but if it's Price against Gallardo in Toronto, I think the Blue Jays have to be considered pretty clear favorites.
David Price, for his career, not a guy who has had a ton of success against the Texas Rangers. For his career, in 11 starts, the Texas Rangers are hitting 270 off of him. He has an ERA of 5.15 against the Texas Rangers in his career.
But we've seen that before where, you know, Price had struggled against the Yankees this year, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes out, and how many times did he pitch? 4 or 5 times against New
York?
4 times
against the Yankees.
And he's very, very good. So I feel like, you know, in the bigger picture, if you kind of zoom out at these guys and you say, okay, David Price has been an ace this year, that's what convinces me that he's going to be effective against the Rangers, especially considering how left-handed they are. And Gallardo's been good, but he hasn't been overwhelming. And the Blue Jays offense, I think, should be capable. I mean, even you look at a guy like Troy Tulowitzki, career facing off against Gallardo in the National League, and he's a 407 hitter against him, 11 hits in 27 at-bats. So I feel like these guys, as much as they've struggled against Gallardo, I think that they've got another gear and that they're going to be able to do some damage against him.
You would assume that they've at least, you know, you've seen him twice this year. You're going to see him the third time. You should know what he's bringing. You should, or in, and even at the very least, you should be able to work deep, you know, at bats against him and have an approach to get his pitch count up early and get him out of the game and get into a Rangers bullpen that had to work really, really hard down the stretch just to get them here.
Yeah, guys like Sean Tolleson pitching 5 days in a row. I mean, that's pretty crazy. They'll get some rest, of course, this week. But, you know, I do think that the Jays are pretty well positioned. And then if you do get, you know, say some damage against Gallardo or Hamels, once you get to the Hollins and the Colby Lewises, I think that's when you could really see the Blue Jays offense step up.
I will point out that David Price faced the Texas Rangers once this year. He faced them deep in the heart of Texas. He went 6 innings, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 8 strikeouts. The Blue Jays won that game 12-4, as they do.
It might have been his 30th birthday.
Yeah, you might be right. That was August 26th, and David Price's birthday is August 26th. There you go. Good memory. Well done.
Yeah, well, appreciate that.
That's why we pay you the big bucks,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
So, hey, let's try to figure out who's going to be on this ALDS roster for the Blue Jays, because now we have the information that we need. When we talked about this last week, we're kind of like, well, it kind of depends who they're going to be facing, you know, what kind of challenges might present themselves. Now we know it's the Texas Rangers, a lot of lefty bats, you know, a lot of lefty pitchers, although we're probably not going to see Martin Perez, who knows, but I'd imagine Colby Lewis will be that fourth starter after Gallardo, Hamels, and Holland. But you know, how are the Blue Jays going to construct this thing? When it comes down to it, you know the rotation is going to be David Price, R.A. Dickey / Marcus Stroman, whoever you want to give that second start to, and maybe we can talk about that in a bit. Marco Estrada is your fourth guy. You know the bullpen is going to be Osuna, Cecil, Sanchez, Lowe, Hendricks, Hawkins, those six. one more spot in that bullpen. You know the lineup's going to be the lineup. You know the bench is going to have Chris Colabello on it. Deonnay Navarro will be on it. Cliff Pennington will be on it. So really, you've got two bench spots and one bullpen spot. Let's take the bench first. For the bench, you have candidates. You have Ezekiel Carrera. We don't have a fourth outfielder yet, by the way, on this roster. We have Ezekiel Carrera as a candidate. Dalton Pompey is a candidate. Matt Hegg's a candidate. Maybe Josh Toley, an outside candidate, if you just want to free up Deonnay Navarro to be able to take, you know, pinch hit at bats. I don't believe I'm missing anyone. I'm not going to mention Munenori Kawasaki. Who do you think gets these last two bench spots?
I think Carrera is a very good bet for one. Beyond that, I have a tough time predicting, but I would lean toward Pompey, both as a prediction and as a recommendation. What about you?
I was just down the stretch, I was falling on the side of Hegg over Pompey just based on the opportunities that Matt Hegg was given. Matt Hegg was given some shots and some very big spots, not to rhyme. And Dalton Pompey was really just being used to run. But we kind of saw that turn over the last week of the season. And maybe that has something to do with the Blue Jays having clinched. Who knows? But I mean, Dalton Pompey was given some opportunities and he did really, really well in them. I think he might have showed the Blue Jays something. And that speed element is something I know John Gibbons wants on his bench.
And it's one thing that he delivers something valuable, which is the ability to steal a base or try to steal a base or at least, you know, go first to third on a single, home to second or second to home. I think that that speed is really valuable. And if you bring on a guy like Hegg, he's clearly going to be the second option to Colabello in terms of pinch hitting, whereas Pompey can be your best at something.
We both agree that Ezekiel Carrera will get the fourth of those five bench spots. We can check that one off. It's number five. It's basically between Dalton Pompey and Matt Hegg. And it's whether you want that speed element or you want a guy who can perhaps hit a bit better. And I mean, Matt Hegg is probably a more proven hitter at this point than Dalton Pompey. I don't know if he has as much of an upside, but Dalton Pompey is, he's still raw and he's still new and we still haven't seen a lot of what he can do at the major league level. He could be a better hitter than Matt Hegg right now. I don't think he's had the chance to prove it.
Matt Hegg does offer the ability to mash lefties. So if somehow late in the game you're in a situation with the Rangers bring on a lefty and you want a good bat, I think you would be more confident with Hegg there. But I still see the Blue Jays going with Pompey. Could be wrong, of course, but that would be my guess.
The thing with Hegg would be if, you know, they bring in a lefty to face Ryan Goins and then he wanted to pinch hit someone. I mean, Chris Colabello is probably going to be that guy.
He'd be the first guy.
That lefty masher is the guy that you're going to bring up, right? So, I mean, if that's the situation you're preparing for, I mean, Chris Colabello is already there. I don't know what other situation you'd really need Matt Hegg to pinch hit in, unless we're talking like extra innings or something, and there's a really bad matchup. But I mean, Ryan Goins is kind of the one guy in this lineup that you're thinking about pinch hitting for. I think Kevin Pillar has probably proven that he deserves to be left in there to hit.
And not only because he's been a reasonably good bat, but I think that his defense has been so good that you don't want to take his glove off of the field.
And I think that's what kind of allows you to take Pompey, is that you really only have the one guy you're going to pinch hit for, unless a game goes 18 innings or something crazy. And you don't really plan for that because it's so rare. So you only have the one guy you're going to pinch hit for. Why not? You know what I mean? Why not just, you know, take that speed element instead of wasting a bench spot on a guy that's not going to be used.
And then if Colabello does reach, you have a pinch run right away.
Pompey, right? And then you're still covered in the outfield with Carrera on the bench.
Yeah.
Dalton Pompey, I think, number five on that bench. The other thing was the seventh guy in the bullpen. And, there's some options there. If you want to go Aaron Loop, if you want to take a second lefty, the Rangers have an awful lot of lefties in their lineup. You could take Ryan Tepera. Drew Hutchison, I suppose, is a possibility, although I don't know how realistic that is. We know Mark Burley isn't a possibility. You know, other guys in there, Jeff Francis. I mean, I think it comes down to probably Loop or Tepera. I fall on the side that they're going to take Loop and that they should take Loop just because the Rangers have a lot of lefty bats. And even though Loop has been somewhat unreliable this year, he's at least been more reliable against lefties. You trust him more against left-handers, and there might be a situation where you really need to get a left-hander out, whether it's Josh Hamilton or, you know, what have you. And Aaron Loop might be that guy if you want to save Brett Cecil for, you know, an eighth inning situation. Where do you fall?
Yeah, I do think it's Loop or Tepera. And I think you have to go with Loop. And I've been making the case for the past couple days that he makes sense because even in the midst of an ugly season, he has had decent results against lefty bats. And like you said, they're going to need so many left-handed relievers. Brett Cecil is going to be absolutely key for the Blue Jays this series. And there are going to be situations where he's already been used or the fifth inning comes up and you need to get one lefty or two lefties out, that's when you need the second option. Loop hasn't allowed home runs to lefties. His walk and strikeout numbers have been much better. And if you look at the body of work for his career, I think that you can safely say he's a reasonable option. He's not dominant at all, but he's a reasonable option. I think they'll go with him.
I think fans will hate it because, you know, the tide is very much turned on Aaron Loop in terms of public's opinion and public support. But this isn't the guy that you're going to be going to in the eighth and ninth. This is a guy that, like you said, you know, ideally your starter gets through five, six, seven innings and you don't really need to use him. And you can just go straight to your one inning guys, Brett Cecilier and Sanchez, Mark Lowe, whatever. But if you do enter a situation where, you know, you got a couple runners on and two outs in the fifth or sixth and you've got a lefty up and your pitcher's at 110 pitches, maybe bring in Aaron Loop to get that lefty. You're going to see him for one batter. I really think the fans can get over that.
Absolutely. I think that's exactly the kind of situation where they should use him. And you want to be covered. I mean, Ryan Tepera, yeah, he's been very good against left-handed batters this year. But I'm not convinced that he's as good as Loop. And, you know, you look at... It's a really low BABIP. He's allowed a lot of walks to left-handed batters. I'm just not convinced that he's your guy against lefties.
I think just especially against this lineup. You know, if it wasn't such a lefty-dominant lineup, maybe we think otherwise, but it is. And you can really kind of foresee those situations where the Blue Jays can eat Aaron Loop. So I think that's your roster right there. Is Aaron Loop taking that last spot in the bullpen? Dylan Pompey getting that last spot on the bench? I mean, otherwise, Blue Jays roster pretty much set. We know who's going to be on it. What maybe there's still a bit of debate about is who's going to start game two, whether you're going to go to Marcus Stroman, who has, you know, makes a good case for being a better pitcher over the last little bit than Ari Dickey, which is a remarkable thing to say since Marcus Stroman has, you know, only been back for 45 minutes. And then you could also go to Ari Dickey at the Sky Dome. You know, you can do whatever you want off the roof. You can control the elements. You're not, you know, in Texas where there's heat and humidity and things like that to deal with. And wind, where do you fall, Stroman or Dickey in game two?
Stroman's the better pitcher at this point. I think that we can say that after watching. It's been obviously pretty impressive what he's done. So I think he's the better pitcher. But you want to put everyone in a position to succeed. And I think that just looking at the numbers, not that you want to be too swayed by one season's worth of home road numbers, but man, it's been a pretty big contrast for Dickey. And at home, he's been pretty dominant. You look at a 3.11 ERA at home. On the road, it's been a 4.83 ERA. And I mean, even the peripherals have been better at home. So I think, you know, for me, it's pretty clear you would want Dickey at Rogers Center.
I agree with that. Part of me wants to, you know, says win games as quickly as possible. And that you probably have a better chance of winning with Marcus Stroman than you do with Ari Dickey, just because he's a better pitcher. So I mean, like, I'm really torn on it as to what direction I would want to go. And, you know, maybe you get too cute with Dickey by saying, you know, you're only going to, you know what I mean? By trying to control too many things to them. I don't know. I think you're probably onto something there with Dickey going game two, Stroman going game three, and then maybe the series is over in three games. Who knows? But I mean, if you win game one, the decisions doesn't really matter either way. Like you're going to be fine. If you lose game one, say, you know, David Price pitches great, but you know, the Blue Jays lose 2-1 or something. Then this decision takes on a lot more onus.
Yeah, I would still go Price, Dickey, Stroman. The one thing that I would look at is if they're down 2-1 heading into game four, I would go David Price on short rest.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Not a shadow of a doubt you bring back David Price in that for that start.
He's your guy.
But if they lose game one, you don't think that you wouldn't consider Stroman?
No. Because the thing is too, you have to have these guys on their throw days and they have to establish that routine beforehand. I think you have to have it locked in. And you know what? They probably already do. They just haven't told us yet.
What? They're hiding things from us?
Yeah.
The Blue Jays would never do that. Yeah, all right. So there you have it. Hey, what? You know, who do you think? So just talking about the rotation, who do you think has the edge between the Blue Jays and the Rangers in the rotation?
Jays.
I agree with you. I think the Blue Jays, because once you get past kind of your Hamels Gallardo, and Gallardo really shouldn't even be that good, although apparently he's great against the Blue Jays. You get into Colby Lewis territory, you get into Derek Holland territory. Doesn't really stand up to the back half of the Blue Jays rotation.
I think actually every single starter, like Price is better than Hamels, Stroman's better than Gallardo, and then Estrada and Dickey are better than, let's say, Lewis and Holland.
Right. So we like the Blue Jays in the rotation. How do you feel about the bullpens? Who's got the better bullpen? This is kind of the one that I probably should have saved for last, but I didn't because I wasn't thinking. But which, because this is the one that could really go either way. Which do you think? Who has the better bullpen?
Both of them got a lot better during the second half of the season. Some big additions there. You know, I might have been inclined to say the Rangers, but the fact that they used Tolleson and Dyson 5 days in a row, those guys have been great for them. They're banged up. I mean, every bullpen's banged up. I almost want to say this one's a push. What about you?
Maybe it is a bit of a push. I feel like just take away how much they were used down the stretch. I feel like the Rangers have the edge. I feel like they've probably got a better bullpen. You know, Sean Tolleson, Sam Dyson, former Blue Jay, by the way, Sam Dyson. You know, if they're going to have Keela in the series, which it sounds like they're going to, you know, I feel like the Rangers probably, you know, Jake Dykeman probably have more reliable options. Whereas we've seen Roberto Osuna be shaky. Aaron Sanchez has been shaky, both young, kind of untested on this stage kind of guys. Troy Hawkins banged up. You know, I feel like the Rangers, I'm going to take their bullpen.
Yeah, that's fair.
What did you take? You pushed?
Yeah.
That's the most Ben answer. You pushed.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's fine.
They're both fine bullpens. Neither one of them is that amazing. We're not talking Yankees or Royals here, but they're fine.
Easy one here. Starting lineup. Who do you give the edge to?
It's obviously Blue Jays.
Blue Jays. When you look at it, I mean, the Blue Jays had three players who OPS'd over 900. The Rangers didn't have a single one. So it's very much the Blue Jays with it. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Their lineup is nuts. When you look at the season-ending numbers for Batista, Encarnacion, and Donaldson, 120 home runs combined. I mean, the idea that those guys would average 40 home runs between them is just outrageous.
Three players with over 900 OPS. The Rangers' highest player in terms of OPS over the full season, Prince Fielder at 841. So not even close to 900.
It's nuts.
Yeah, oh yeah. And then to the bench. For the Blue Jays, you know, you're going to have Chris Colabello, Deion Navarro, Cliff Pennington, Ezequiel Carrera, Dalton Pompey for the Rangers, they are called. Mike Napoli on the bench. It'll be interesting to see how they actually divvy up these kind of first base DH at bats between Mike Napoli, Prince Fielder, and Mitch Moreland and how they use that. What do you think about, you know, Drew Stubbs, Will Venable probably on the bench for the Rangers? How do you feel the benches shape up?
I do think the Rangers have a pretty good bench, and it gives Bannister some options, you know, with obviously Moreland being much better against right-handed pitching, Napoli being a lefty masher historically, so he can play matchups there. You know, again, I think that these teams are relatively even in those departments. I would go Blue Jays in a close one on this, because I think that you look at guys like Colabello and Deion Navarro, if they do use him, they're very good hitters, you know, and you could throw Pompey if they end up taking him, Carrera. They're going to have a lot of useful pieces. So in a close one, I would say Blue Jays.
I might take Rangers on this. Feel like, you know, I feel like they just might have a bit more power off the bench. They might have some, so, you know, they might be able to do better with, especially with, like, you look at that three-headed monster at, you know, DH and first base. I mean, you might have Mitch Moreland coming out. You might have Mike Napoli, who hits really well at the Rogers Center coming off the bench. You know, Drew Stubbs, a guy who can leave the park, you know, Will Venable. You know, I don't know if you're going to see a lot of hands or Alberto or anything like that, but, you know, I think that...
I thought it was a guarantee that we were going to see a lot of him.
Chris Jimenez, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they've kind of got too with Chris Jimenez and Robinson Chirinos. I mean, we might see both those guys get starts at catcher and the other one coming off the bench. It'll be interesting to see what the Rangers do, but I think the Rangers are probably a bit more versatile on the bench.
That's
so
fair.
Have I come out pro Rangers in this thing? Like, we both took the Blue Jays rotation on the bullpen. I took Rangers and you pushed on the starting lineup. We both took Blue Jays, and then on the bullpen, on the bench, you took Blue Jays. I took Rangers.
Defense. Where do you land?
Blue Jays, I think, is really what Troy Tulowitzki and Ryan Goins up the middle is a much better, you know, option.
Pilar Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rougned Odor and Elvis Andrews. You know, I mean, the Rangers' best defender, probably Adrian Beltre.
Yeah.
And he's, like, playing with eight fingers.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy.
I mean, you know, go ahead.
Big picture, too. I mean, you look at the Blue Jays' defensive efficiency, best in baseball this year. They were quite a good defensive team.
So, yeah, you've basically taken the Jays in every single aspect of the game. I've taken the Rangers in a couple. And I know, I think you're totally right to do it. I think there's nothing wrong with that. I feel like I feel like I have to be contrarian.
Yeah, but, I mean, fair enough. If the Blue Jays were facing the Cardinals or the Pirates or the Dodgers, I would not be picking the Blue Jays every time. But I just think they're clearly better than the Rangers. Doesn't mean they're going to win. I just think they're a clearly better team.
So you've fallen clearly on the side of the Blue Jays. I think it's probably, while like you can make a very good argument that the Blue Jays are better than the Rangers in every aspect of the game, I think it's closer right. than they're not, you know, way, way better.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Other than maybe the starting line, like maybe the hitting in the yeah. starting lineup.
Is, and the rotation. couple big ones there.
So, hey, let's get down to it. Would you like to make a prediction for the ALDS between the Blue Jays and Rangers?
I actually would, and I will predict Blue Jays 4 games. How about you?
Blue Jays in 4, which game are the Rangers going to win?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know?
Yeah, I'm not getting that specific.
Will the Blue Jays have to use David Price twice in your scenario? Or will they
no.
just go to, yeah?
Yeah, because if you're up 2-1 going into game 4, you would go with Estrada.
I also think the Blue Jays are going to win the series, but I think that they will win it in 5. I think this the Rangers are a good team, man. They're a resilient, plucky bunch. And I think they might get a little underestimated in this city, coming into it. Maybe some people not as familiar with them. We haven't heard, they play in the West. The games are on late. We don't hear that much about them. I think the Rangers are a good team. I'll take the Blue Jays in 5.
Fair enough.
You heard it here first. And if we're wrong, we'll just burn this tape and just delete it from the internet forever.
Well, we tried to do that with the Rover-Unders, and unfortunately, they have resurfaced, so I don't know if that's going to be possible.
Those are going to come back to bite us in the ass, in the arses, at the end of this. Producer Sam McKee is so excited about this. So that'll be in the third segment, but coming up next, we'll be joined by Jeff Wilson from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He's going to break down the Rangers for us. Let us know what we've missed with this Texas Rangers team. Give us all that inside info. Stick with us. It's at the letters.
And he hits this one well to left field. Going back is Brantley. He is looking up. Goodbye! Back-to-back, Beltre and Fielder. The Rangers lead it 3-0.
It's at the letters on sportsnet.ca and on iTunes. Arden Swelling here with Ben Nicholson-Smith. We are very pleased to be joined on the phone deep from the heart of Texas by Jeff Wilson of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Jeff, how are you?
Doing good, guys. How are you?
Good. Just first and foremost, I mean, the Rangers have had such a similar second half to the Blue Jays in terms of, making moves at the deadline and kind of, just going on a crazy winning streak. I mean, what have the last 2 months been like in Rangers land?
Well, based on last season and the first half of this season, it's been nice to see some good baseball. And it hasn't really been caught on, I don't think, yet with all the fans. This winning streak or the winning ways started basically when high school football practice and college football practice and started, and the Cowboys were in training camp, so they still take the lion's share of the attention. But you could feel it starting to build, and it kind of hit its crescendo over the weekend with that Angels series. But it's not, and like I said, it's nice to see good baseball after that disaster last year, and then a first half that looked like it was going down the drain.
What about Adrian Beltre? I mean, from afar, it's pretty impressive what he's doing, and it seems like he's been doing this, posting great numbers offensively, contributing on defense, and yet he's battling some kind of a hand injury. How is he pulling this off?
Yeah, it's probably his best act. I mean, this guy's always playing with injuries. But he can manage a leg injury, a hamstring or a groin. He's an old pro at that. But he hurt his thumb, sprained his thumb, May 31st. He's probably going to have surgery in the offseason. Came back way too soon. He admitted that he probably shouldn't have been playing. And he's changed his grip on his bat. And then he started to hit, and then last month he jammed his index finger going diving into third base. So now the left index finger and the left thumb are injured, and this guy's swinging a bat with 8 fingers. And you'll see when he grips the bat, his left index finger's in a brace. He wears a pad on his thumb. I mean, it's remarkable. He said that the thumb hurts more, or one hurts more defensively than offensively, and it's truly remarkable. And what he did, he was probably their second best player. Shinsu was probably their best player, but you're right. For him to really salvage the season, it was looking like a terrible year. I think people were kind of writing him off, but he is he's one tough dude.
When you talk about guys like, Beltre, Josh Hamilton, Shinsu Chu, Prince Fielder, I mean, it's pretty easy to kind of chart out how this ALDS roster is going to shape up for the Texas Rangers. But, you know, I'm wondering, Jeff, what are some of the decisions that, you know, the Rangers brass is having to go through right now and having to make as they kind of sculpt their roster to take on the Blue Jays?
Sure. I think they're trying to decide who their four starters are going to be, whether it'll be Colby Lewis or Martin Perez. I would bank on Lewis. He's the veteran. He's their best postseason pitcher in franchise history. He's also right-handed, and I think that would be attractive to the Rangers against the Blue Jays. And they're, you know, Tulowitzki, Bautista, Encarnacion, and Donaldson, of course. So I think Lewis will end up there. The bullpen should be pretty set. They've got a couple decisions, like the swing man to get maybe from the fifth to the seventh. That'll be Ross Ohlendorf or Chichi Gonzalez. They got to choose their second lefty, Sam Freeman or Andrew Faulkner. The long guy will probably be the starter that doesn't make the rotation. And then, you know, maybe a couple bench pieces. But if you look at Will Venable and Drew Stubbs play pretty important roles down the stretch, it seems like they're going to be on the roster.
You mentioned the bullpen. In a lot of ways, I think you could make the case that that was an unheralded reason for the Rangers' success down the stretch, and yet they weren't shy about using these guys. Jeff Banister called on Sam Dyson and Sean Tolleson 5 days in a row. I mean, are these guys going to be available when the ALDS gets going?
Well, they didn't pitch Sunday, and you know, the Cole Hamels complete game, it was great pitching, you know, not quite what Cliff Lee did for the Rangers in 2010, but the team at this, you know, Sunday, the bullpen was shot. If it had been a 3-2 game going into the eighth and Hamels had been at, you know, 100 or so pitches at that point, it would have been really tough for them to close it out. But these 4 days off, if you include Sunday, for Tolleson and Dyson are going to be huge. And, you know, Dyson, he just throws a hard sinker. That's basically it, 96-97 mile per hour sinker. So he got one pitch and knows how to execute it. Tolleson has three pitches. None of them are really plus pitches by themselves. So he's got to have feel and he's got to have the strength to command them and execute them. And as you could see Saturday for sure that he didn't have it. So yeah, the rest will benefit them more than anybody else on the team.
Joined by Jeff Wilson of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Jeff, you know, it's an interesting situation for the Rangers because, you know, they had to play up until the very last, you know, day of the season, and they had to use Cole Hamels there. He won't be available for game one. Coming up to Toronto, you know, to a ballpark that's perfectly suited for, you know, this Blue Jays lineup and a Blue Jays team that's done very well at that ballpark. I mean, what do you think the Rangers have to do in these first couple games in order to, you know, just maybe even gain an advantage in this series?
Well, obviously a split would be huge. They need to be able to match the Blue Jays offense in at least one of the games. David Price is David Price. And, if you look at the Rangers playoff history, they faced Tampa Bay in 2010 and 2011 in the division series. And they didn't have their way with David Price, but they beat him. And then in 2013, they had to play a play-in game with Tampa Bay for the second wild card, and Price came here to Arlington and complete game, allowed two runs. So they have – it's an interesting history if you want to look at it from that angle. But, you know, I think it's the second game is going to be the big one. If Hamels is the starter for that one, he's got to keep the Blue Jays in check, and the lineup's got to take advantage of anybody but David Price. And so I think that's the best avenue to a split. But, the old saying is you can't predict ball, and especially in the postseason.
The manager, Jeff Banister, has a great story, one big league plate appearance, and here he is managing this team for the first time. What have you seen from him as a tactical manager in the course of the season, and what do you expect that we're going to learn about Jeff Banister as the playoffs begin?
Well, you know, his story goes beyond his major league career. He had cancer when he was in high school, overcame that. He actually had a broken neck and was partially paralyzed for 10 days in college. So, his backstory is tremendous. And, you know, the hashtag that he has had for a few years is never, ever quit. And, how can a player tell the manager, oh, you know, I don't feel good today. And he can go, oh, it's all right, I just overcame cancer and a broken neck. But you're gonna see a guy who's a little bit more of a I don't want to say a micromanager, but he makes moves more regularly than we're used to with Ron Washington. He uses his bench a lot. Sometimes we think he takes out a player like Prince Fielder to a pinch runner a little early. He's aggressive with making substitutions to upgrade the defense. And he's also big on the shifts. I mean, you're going to see the Rangers. I know all teams are now, but the Rangers really you see their defensive players in great positioning a lot.
Jeff, a guy that really fascinates me on the Rangers is Rougned Odor. You know, this is he's 21 years old. He's already in his second full major league season. He's a guy who plays the game with a lot of intensity, a lot of fire, a lot of passion. You know, some people might even describe him as a bit of a pest. What can you tell us about Rougned Odor and what he might bring to this series?
Well, you know, you nailed him right there. You know, he is 21. He likes to have fun playing the game. He's aggressive. You know, if you throw a first pitch fastball, he's swinging at it and he might hit it out. For a little guy, he's got a lot of pop, and he's a guy you can't really ignore at the bottom of the lineup. He will get himself in trouble. He'll chase. His aggression will get the best of him. You know, early in the year, he was terrible, and they actually sent him to AAA, and he had to, find a swing. They wanted him to find a swagger, what you're talking about. And he aggravated the Astros this season with a bat flip on a triple. He aggravated the Angels over the weekend with what was clearly a late slide on Johnny Giovitella trying to break up a double play. But the Rangers like that, and you know, Jeff Banister defends Odor with 100% passion, has his back, says that's the kind of player that's the way you're supposed to play. You're supposed to play hard.
Entering the season when Yu Darvish went down and the Rangers were looking like definitely not a playoff team anyway, maybe even a sub-500 team, what do you think that John Daniels and the rest of the Rangers decision makers would have honestly expected out of this season at that point?
You know, the reason they didn't go all in or more aggressive in the offseason was because they didn't know what they were going to have in terms of, like, Prince Fielder coming off a neck injury and Mitch Moreland coming off a reconstructed ankle. You know, they knew they were going to get some of their pitchers back. Martin Perez, Matt Harrison was on the roster at the time. They expected them to come back and contribute. But at that point, and then a 7-14 April, it was pretty tough. But John Daniels said yesterday, we asked him about this very question, they were seeing things going the right way. You know, by May, Chu had started to hit a little bit. They saw Odor getting better in AAA, and they saw that, you know, they liked what they saw from their injured pitchers. So they thought that if things kept going the right way, they could get into a position maybe for a wild card team, a wild card spot. But I think they'd be lying a little bit if they thought that they would erase an 8-game deficit in August and win the American League West.
Jeff, I think, you know, fans are familiar with the bigger names on the Rangers, such as, you know, Josh Hamilton, Prince Fielder, what have you. But I'm curious if, you know, there's any kind of under the radar guys that maybe fans aren't that aware of on this Rangers team that you think could be X factors in this series and could be troublesome for Toronto.
You know, I think what the Rangers are going to do at first base could be a good thing for them and something that Toronto fans need to pay attention to. They know Mike Napoli from the Red Sox days here the last couple of years. He'll be probably in a platoon with Mitch Moreland, who Toronto fans might not know. Moreland had 23 home runs this year. He hit 285 or 280, somewhere around there. This is his best season as a major leaguer, and he's a really good defensive player. He hits the mammoth home runs. I mean, this guy's got some power, and he really, really does well against right-handers. So I think Moreland's a guy who is under the radar. Elvis Andrus, you know, he had a much better second half. He cleaned up his defensive side. He's not going to hit the ball at the ballpark, but he'll get some doubles. He can also lay down some bunts. And then Delino DeShields has been the surprise of the Rangers this year. Rule 5 guy, nobody expected him to even play. He had to be on the roster, but play. They didn't know that. And then Leonis Martin got hurt in May, and Delino hasn't looked back. And when he scores a run, the Rangers have a winning record. He's, I don't want to say he's the key to the offense, but he's a big part of it.
Jeff Wilson of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Follow him on Twitter at @JeffWilson_FWST. Jeff, we're looking forward to seeing you at Rogers Center.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, I'll be there tomorrow. Thanks, guys.
This week on Free Association, Sportsnet.ca's NBA and Toronto Raptors podcast, the dudes, JD Bunkus and Dave Zarim, are joined by Diamond Dallas Page, DDP, to talk about the time him and Karl Malone dropped their basketball careers to become wrestlers. Definitely go listen to that on Sportsnet.ca and iTunes, Free Association. It continues on At the Letters. Our thanks to Jeff Wilson of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram for joining us, breaking it down. You've now heard everything you could ever possibly need to know about the ALDS between the Blue Jays and Rangers. I encourage you to watch it on Sportsnet and follow along on .ca and listen to it on the radio and just turn all of every medium that you have to Sportsnet would be great. And game one is either 3:30 or 4 o'clock. Is it? Is that it, Ben?
Yeah, people are... people are struggling with those times. Yeah. I do feel for people who are at work or at school and miss it, though. That does. Bottom line is playoff baseball, though.
Yeah, but I mean, it's close enough to the end of the day on Thursday that you can cut out early and go to the bar. And Friday, it's a long weekend. You should have that day off anyway. You should be already drinking on that day, I think. I'm not feeling that bad for people. You have baseball on October 8th and 9th in the city of Toronto.
Yeah. That's the most important thing.
Be happy about it. Just enjoy something. I didn't want to talk about this. So 3:30 or 4 o'clock on Thursday, and then Friday it's the 12:45 start, I believe, right?
Yep.
Yep. So yeah, watch them on Sportsnet. There'll be pregame shows, postgame shows, tons of coverage on Sportsnet.ca from myself, from Ben Nixon-Smith, Shai Davidi, Michael Grange, Christina Rutherford, Garrett Joyce, Jeff Blair, Ryan Dixon. There's going to be so many people documenting this thing. We're going to have it covered from all angles. We are your source. So the day of reckoning has come for Ben and myself, for us to find out how our over-under predictions turned out from day one. I am personally terrified, and I'm sure Ben is as well. Our producer, Sam McKee, follow him on Twitter at Sam_Alton_McKee, has joined us in studio to break this down. Ben and I don't know. Like, we don't remember these things. We don't really remember doing it. It's all a haze. We don't know where we ended up. Sam's going to let us know what happened. So take it away, bud.
Oh, this is personally really fun for
me. Sam's loving it.
I am. So the first one you guys had was Jose Reyes games played over under set at 130.5. And 0.5, sorry.
Yeah.
And you guys both took the over, and it was not over.
For both? Jays and Rockies?
Wow. Yeah, I think it was 116.
Yeah, 116.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Jose, come on, bud. But that's okay. But he right now he's like on the DL with a broken heart. So, like, you know, like, do we count that? Is that really an injury? Man, all right. So off to a rough start.
All right. So the next one you guys had was Dalton Pompey War.
Oh,
set at 2.
Oh, it was definitely under.
Please tell me I took the under.
I wrote down here, Arden, with a bunch of exclamation marks that you said over. And Ben, you said under.
Wow.
So there you go.
Got it. Nice. God.
Now this next one is Drew Hutchison ERA was set at 3.74.
Wow. Were we ever optimistic about Drew Hutchison?
3.74?
What was that based on? That was the major league average for something you said last year. So.
Oh, God.
And I don't know why you guys have a podcast, but you both said under.
Well, okay, coming into the season, he looked like things were going to be all right. He had a good spring, I think, probably.
Wow, under 3.74, would that ever have been nice for the Blue Jays?
Oh, my God. Yeah, where would the Jays be right now? Drew Hutchison's in the playoff rotation if he's under 3.74.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Wow.
We both said under. Oh, God.
And yet they still won the division.
So far, Ben's 1-for-3, and I'm a big 0-for. This isn't good.
So the next one, I think, was pretty obvious, was Josh Donaldson OPS 825. And you both took the over on that.
Sweet. That was easy.
Yeah.
And he surpassed that by like 100 points.
So
we gave him 825. Oh, yeah. He's well over 900.
So the next one was Justin Smoke homers, and it was set at 15. And you said over, Arden.
Yeah, I did. He got like 18, didn't he?
And Ben said under.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, You know what? He was, yeah, I think he was around 17, 18. What did he get?
I'm looking it up right now.
Didn't he finish with 18?
Yeah, he got 18.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll show you.
Yeah, good season by Smoke.
So
I'm on the board. Wait, Justin Smoke, 18 home runs in 328 plate appearances, basically half a season's worth of plate appearances. A lot of that's matchups. A lot of that's the pitching that he saw. Extrapolate that even a bit, though. That's like a 30 homer season.
Well, you look at him and Colabello, right? And between them, they got 35 home runs. I mean, that's for a couple guys claimed on waivers. I know they re-signed Smoke, but for a couple guys they initially got on waivers to get 35 homers, that's pretty nice.
So I'm back on the board here. I've clawed back into this thing. It's now 2-2. Ben's got two. I've got two out of the five.
So this next one I just thought was so great that we have a little clip to play. So the next one was Mark Burley innings 200. So I think we have a little clip.
I think I remember. Hold on to your hats. This is the year Mark Burley pitches less than 200 innings. That's what I'm saying. I think he'll get close, but I do not think that he will pitch 200 this year. It's been a great, great run of consistency. When you look at what he's done for 14 straight seasons, it is absolutely remarkable. It is impeccable what he has done. I think this is the year that he does not reach 200 innings, and I think this is possibly the last year of his career.
Wow. Free agent after this season, you're throwing it out there that you could see him calling it.
I could see him retiring for sure.
Wow.
Yes.
I wouldn't expect that, but that's interesting.
Suck it, Ben.
Wow. You were close. That was so close. I can't believe of all the over-unders, and it ultimately came down to those last five outs, the last two innings. Man, you called it. What can I say? You called it.
Don't doubt this, all right? I am the oracle.
I thought we had to play that because I listened to it, and I literally said, there's no way. Like, you couldn't have nailed it anymore. So I like that clip.
That vaults me into the lead, by the way.
Wow.
I think I'm the only one who cares what the score is, but whatever. It's 3-2 for me out of six, right? We've done six so far. Does that add up? If I lost count here, am I correct? Come on, Sam.
Four outs away. That's all that separated you from losing that over-under.
We're
seven through, and I've got three, and Ben's got two. Oh, jeez. Let's get us both over 500 here at least.
These in retrospect are hilarious. Miguel Castro saves set at 5.5.
You know what? He got a few at the beginning of the year, didn't he? When they were still trying to figure it out.
He got four.
Oh my God.
Arden took the over and Ben took the under.
There we go. There we go. Four saves. I'm surprised he got four actually looking back at it.
That's well, because I remember that he was getting those opportunities at the beginning of the year when Cecil wasn't doing so well, and they still before like when Roberto Osuna was still pitching like two innings in the fifth and sixth, right? Like what? That's crazy how much it changes. And think about how Miguel Castro, like the story of spring too.
Yeah,
really,
it's nuts. Even just looking back at the opening day roster, I'm gonna compare that to the division series roster once that's announced. I mean, you're probably gonna see five, six different names, maybe even more.
Yeah, that's wild. All right.
So Marco Estrada starts, you guys had, and the over-under was set at 9.5.
We had a lot of faith in Marco Estrada.
I'm sure I would have taken the over there.
Ben took the over. Arden, the under.
No. Oh, no.
It's funny. He's almost a Cy Young candidate. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Oh, God.
How's that score looking?
Yeah, you're up now, Ben. Yeah, you're up. It's 4-3 for Ben. I guess I just thought that they needed him in the bullpen, I guess. I don't know.
Who knows?
What was I thinking?
Devin Travis, OPS, 6.71.
Oh, he definitely did better than that. Right?
And you both took the over.
Wow.
Faith in Devin Travis. He probably crushed that. He probably...
859.
I was going to give him high 700s.
It's really good.
Well, I guess he didn't really play again after that like amazing month.
And then
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. We had another OPS one was with Kevin Pillar.
Just poor one out for Devin Travis. Tough season for that guy. Great, great guy.
Yeah.
Honestly, what a great guy to have around the team, and everyone loves him, and you know, people are expecting big things from next year. I know that.
Absolutely. He can really hit.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. OPS Kevin Pillar.
Was set at 700.
Wow. He was over.
And Arden took over. Ben had the under.
Yeah, I did. Oh, pulling back into the tie with Ben. Kevin, I had the faith in Kevin Pillar. I knew.
7-13.
So he ended up at 7-13?
Yeah.
What a year for him.
12 homers, 25 steals. He had a really good... He surpassed 31 doubles. Like, the guy had a great year.
Like, what's league average? 7-10? Something like that?
It was, I think it ticked up as the year went on. Yeah. I think that, I'll check it now, but so I think the league average for OPS was somewhere around 720.
Oh, okay. So he's a little bit below league average. But I mean, for Kevin Pillar, for what you expected coming into this year, far exceeded expectations.
He was like a five-win player by some calculations.
That's incredible. Kevin Blair. I see, and I knew it. I knew it.
Games managed by John Gibbons was 54 and a half, and you both took the over. Yeah, like smart gentleman that you are.
There you go. Was that based on, those are like the first 2 months of the year or something like that?
Yeah.
Was
it good? First two months, you guys said. And this one. Is this
the final one?
This is the final one.
So, by the way, it's tied right now.
Wow. Oh my God, this is incredible.
It's tied.
And it's amazing that this is the deciding factor, but games played in October.
Oh no.
Sat at 4.5.
Oh no, I remember this.
Wow. So we don't even know the answer to this one yet.
Well, no, because they played the three games.
Oh, they're gonna play.
So it was determined on if they played a playoff game or not.
Oh no.
And Arden, the pessimist, under, Ben, over.
There we go.
Oh God. Yeah,
in appropriate fashion, Ben Nicholson-Smith wins.
I like that that's appropriate fashion.
You know what? On like July 24th, my prediction looked great.
That's true. That's very true. And to be fair, I had them as a wild card, not as a division winner.
All right. Congratulations, Ben. Ben wins 7-6.
I think we both lose. We both heard those over-unders. We both missed a lot of predictions.
As always, we both lose. But in this case, you win, Ben. Well done. And that's great that it came down to that.
Yeah, I really like it. That's awesome. It's really meant to be.
All right. Thanks for helping us out, Sam. Sam _Alton_McKee on Twitter. Try not to knock too much stuff over as you leave the studio, you klutz. This has been great. It's been ATL. We'll be back next Tuesday. We'll be coming back from Texas on Tuesday, I guess.
That might be a travel day. We'll be covering the Rangers Jays series in full. So lots of stuff to look forward to on .ca, but that is a travel day. So we'll figure it out. We'll keep everyone posted, but we have more ATL to come. This is not the last one.
Yes, absolutely. So we might be a little bit late in the day on Tuesday. We might have to push it to Wednesday. A lot of it will depend on how this series goes. If, you know, the Blue Jays are out of it by 3 or the Rangers are out of it by 3, I mean, we might be back on Monday.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, who knows?
We could do some bonus additions, too. Hopefully, we'll pull that off. We have to figure out the specifics on that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. You know where to find us. You know we'll be here with that ATL goodness. For my co-host, Ben Nicholson-Smith, at BNicholson-Smith on Twitter. My name is Arden Zwelling. I am at Arden Zwelling on Twitter. Thanks for coming along. Hey, playoff baseball this week in Toronto. Go out and enjoy it. Have a good time. Have a beer. Kiss a girl. Go nuts. Enjoy yourself. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, kind of, if you're like an early 20-something person in Toronto. Go enjoy it and enjoy us. We are ATL.